As long as we are asleep and unaware, we may never wake up to our true purpose in life. The Ultimate Life Map will assist you in defining your life compass. It will help you understand the fundamental life principles so you can purposefully navigate your way towards living a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Guys, that is what my book, The Ultimate Life Map, is all about. Stop teasing yourself. Wake up. The life you desire is more possible than you believe. Align your thoughts and behaviors with your values, with what truly matters to you. The ultimate life isn't lived by aligning ourselves to societal expectations or external demands and measures. Those paths lead us into traps of acceptance, stagnations, and conformity. Break free from the status quo. Question everything. Ask why. The ultimate life is available for anyone, those that are willing to create the change that they desire. Are you ready to wake up? I've been working on this book for some time, guys. It's a project I am passionate about and very excited about getting it published and launched. And in launching it, I'm committed to raising enough funds in which I will be donating 100% of all the profits towards completing a schooling project in Uganda. This will give approximately 500 children the opportunity to attend school and create a better life for themselves. If you're interested in finding out more, guys, supporting this campaign, and even getting a copy of my book, head on over to theultimatelife.com and subscribe today. Whatever a monk keeps pursuing with his thinking and pondering, that becomes the inclination of his awareness. If a monk keeps pursuing thinking imbued with renunciation, abandoning thinking imbued with sensuality, his mind is bent by that thinking imbued with renunciation. If a monk keeps pursuing thinking imbued with non-ill will, abandoning thinking imbued with ill will, his mind is bent by that thinking imbued with non-ill will. If a monk keeps pursuing thinking imbued with harmlessness, abandoning thinking imbued with harmfulness, his mind is bent by that thinking imbued with harmlessness. G'day guys, welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. This is episode 265, Two Sorts of Thinking. It is part one. It'll be done in two parts, one this week and part two next week. In this episode, I will take a look at what are thoughts. I do this from a stance of introspection and studies of neuroscience and psychology. If indeed thoughts become our reality, then in understanding them and how we can influence them, we will be better equipped to change undesirable realities that we live. And that's really what it's all about here at The Hidden Why, guys, creating lifestyles that are more conducive to a life of happiness, not suffering, and that are more conducive to the life that we want to live, not a life that we live with regret. I hope it brings you some value, guys. I hope you can make some sense of it as I try to navigate and explain my ways through this quite slippery and difficult topic. For whatever it is, guys, I hope it gives you some inspiration and some value, and you can go out there and create that kind of lifestyle that you really want to live. Let me know what you think, guys. Do me a favor, share it with your family, share it with your loved ones. You can use the social media icons on the platform that you're listening to this on to do that. And you can connect with me at thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date with all the episodes that I'm bringing out here. And connect with me, guys, online. TheHiddenWhy.com. You can connect with me through social media and my email address there as well. Guys, enjoy this thought. Enjoy your day. G'day, guys. Welcome to The Hidden Why podcast. My name's Lee Martinuzzi, the host of the show. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune in to this solo rant. Guys, today's solo rant is titled Two Sorts of Thinking. I hope I can provide you some value, guys, as I attempt to navigate my way through this slippery topic, and it is quite sticky at times. So I'll do my best to explain my thoughts and interpretations so that it can provide you some level of value, but if not anything, inspiration to go out there and explore this more deeply yourself. So my thoughts for sharing this is because the better we can understand thoughts, the better we can understand why our thoughts exist, where they come from, what they all mean, and how they affect our reality, perhaps the better we can influence the reality that we live and create the kind of lifestyle that we want. And that's what it's really all about for me. For me, it's more of a simplistic, basic level, and really a chance for me to inspire other people to go out there and explore these things more deeply themselves, because they work for me. They have helped me create a better understanding as I try and navigate and figure my life out so I can really live the kind of life that I want to live. So that's why I'm sharing this thought today. Again, guys, it is a little bit of a complicated one. It's a little bit tricky to navigate around at times. I'll do my best to explain it so to share you the maximum value that I can. So this is an article that I wrote. It's in parts one and two. So this episode will be in parts one and two as well. The first part is more about thoughts, what thoughts are, how they exist, and how they affect our reality. The second is more about the two sorts of thinkings themselves, which I'll get to in a moment. So in this episode, I'll reflect on a sutta in which Buddha discusses two sorts of thinkings. Now, you can find this, you can have a read. I'll stick the link in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. You can find it in Majjhima Nikaya, which is the middle length discourses, section 19, Vidavataka Sutta, which is two sorts of thinking. So again, I'll stick the links in the show notes. If you want to have a read yourself, I suggest you do. And that'll help you create a deeper understanding about the two sorts of thinkings. Again, that will be the focus really of episode two, part two of this. Today, really, I want to get into what is a thought and where they all come from and what they mean, how they create the realities that we live. So first, suttas are Buddhist scriptures that include readings or teachings of the enlightened Buddha. This particular collection, or Nikaya, is the second of five and contains 152 discourses, written or spoken communication or debate. Secondly, I just want to highlight that I'm not a monk, I'm not a Buddhist expert or a religious expert by any stretch of the imagination. However, if I was to attach myself to a particular religion, it would likely be Buddhism, because this is a religion that I can relate to more easily. I find it better able to reference my life to, and I actually use it better to help me understand my life, this existence, and in doing so, you know, figuring out how best to live this life. So the purpose of this episode and the next one, really, it is just my thoughts, my introspection on this particular discourse. And hopefully in doing so, again, I can provide you that inspiration to go out there and do a bit more research yourself. So the two thoughts of thinking. The two sorts of thinking are thoughts of sensuality, thoughts of ill will, and thoughts of harm, as opposed to thoughts of non-sensuality or renunciation, thoughts of non-ill will, and thoughts of non-harm or harmlessness. The first set of thoughts will be conducive and purposeful to self-suffering or the affliction of suffering on others, or even both, while the second set promotes the opposite, a sense of calmness that reduces the suffering that we experience and that we may inflict on others, and our overall displeasure, dissatisfaction, and feelings of restraint that come to a life that is bound by the more negative set of thoughts. So again, those thoughts are thoughts of sensuality, thoughts of ill will, and thoughts of harm. Now, I believe the later two, the thoughts of ill will and thoughts of harm, we're all compassionate beings. I think it's in our human nature to not have those thoughts, yet they do exist, and we all have these thoughts. I think even the ones that are that enlightened probably still have these thoughts come up. And then there's the thoughts of sensuality, which I really believe are the even harder ones to navigate ourselves around. Because we are humans that seek pleasure and we seek to avoid suffering. So thoughts of sensuality are quite common for us to go after. They're a way for our biological way, I believe, to help us survive. So anyway, what are thoughts? Let's first take a look at that. So what is the definition of a thought? Now, a thought can be described as an intention, idea, or opinion produced by thinking. It is the attention of the mind. They come without will and really without our control and come quite abruptly. If you're a meditator, you're probably quite aware that thoughts are impossible to get rid of. They're constantly coming in, flowing in. And what happens in our life is that when thoughts come into our head, we often attach to them. Now, we have many thoughts that we probably don't even know, but we're probably attaching to the ones that are quite purposeful to the moment, to our current situation in life. And as we attach to them, we get dragged away with them. And that takes us down paths in life that perhaps we really don't want to go. So that is really brings us to the benefit of why, you know, understanding our thoughts is beneficial, because once you can see your thoughts and better observe your thoughts, you can separate yourself from them rather than attaching yourself to them. And in that separation, you can sort of gain a greater perspective and also allow which thoughts you want to sort of go with and which thoughts you don't want to go with. And that comes back to, you know, trying to favor thoughts of non-sensuality, thoughts of non-ill will, and thoughts of non-harm. So neuroscience, the sciences and psychology that study
the functions and structures of the nervous system and the brain suggests that thought is produced without will. And it is now understood that humans do not have free will. I've discussed this a couple of episodes in the past here at The Hidden Why. So if you're interested, check it out, thehiddenwhy.com. Press in the search menu there, free will, and you'll find those episodes. You can have a listen to them if you wish to. But free will is quite a sticky idea. And it really suggests that, you know, our brain just sparks thought. And that's without our control. We can't say, this is the thought I want to spark now. They come and then they direct our reality. So what is thought and what is thinking? Well, thinking allows us to process and model our reality based on the arrangement of ideas through direct experiences of our world. In thinking, we are processing this information to interpret, predict, and make meaning of our reality. Now, this subject is deeper than I wish to attempt to explain here. It is possible that I am perhaps incorrect. However, to put it simply, our thoughts are our interpretation of our life experiences based on our physical senses and our external environment. So our thoughts are our interpretation of our life experiences based on our physical senses and our external environment. The brain uses this process to find meaning that is used to predict and produce the reality we live. So the brain actually produces thought that creates thinking that allows us to interpret what's happening in our world right now, and then sort of promotes us to behave in a certain direction that will be either conducive or non-conducive to the style or quality of life that we wish to live. Now, we've all heard of the saying that our thoughts become our reality. I absolutely believe that. I think we absolutely are driven by our thoughts, and they do really become our reality. So again, this is why it's beneficial to have thoughts that are more positive and conducive to the direction you want to go in, rather than those thoughts that are not. Hence the reason why I'm talking about the two sorts of thinking today. And in the next episode, I'll talk more about the thoughts that are non-conducive and how perhaps we can overcome and remove ourselves from those, and perhaps why it's beneficial as well. Now, while we have little control over the firing of thoughts that can occur spontaneously in the brain, we can direct our experience. And this is both good news and bad news. So whilst the thoughts just pop up and they come in, we can't really control them. They just come. And what we can control is our attachment to them. And I think that can help us direct the next experiences we have. Now, let's go back to how the thoughts form. In the early years of our life, we experience that most of our experiences are dependent on others. So our conditioned state and the thoughts that we produce today have been largely influenced externally with little self-influence. However, as we grow up and become more independent, we are freed from the harnesses of dependency, and we are allowed to navigate our life's journey and the experiences we have in life, and it becomes much more our responsibility. This is the reason why I believe it's important that we take ownership of our journey and we grow more autonomous in our thoughts and behaviors. Because if we don't, if we become so reliant and dependent on thoughts and behaviors that are created or contributed to from external factors, we will be less able to direct these thoughts and the future experiences that we have, and therefore, I believe, be more bound and dependent on external factors to our life. And that's not good for living by your terms, by living the life that you really desire. Now, if you do take ownership as we grow older and we do take more autonomous control of our thoughts and our behaviors, that doesn't remove or pass thoughts or non-beneficial thoughts, because they have been embedded in our brain. They have been embedded in our neurological structures, and they become our system's go-to in creating efficiencies of this experiences. As I have learned recently and had to change my perspective on, is that the world that we live in and the reality that we create is based on a prediction model. We predict our world and create our experiences and reality, and that's really hard to get our mind around as well. And so the past years that have created a bunch of our neurological structures and the thoughts that we have become our system's go-to to really help us predict what to do next. Now, that sort of takes us again away from that idea that we can actually control the reality that we live, because if the reality that is lived is based on past experiences that were largely outside of our control that causes us to have thoughts that take us along predicted paths into the future, then what hope do we have? Well, it's all about pushing ourselves into new experiences. And the best way we can influence the ability to push ourselves into those new experiences is to understand that we have a consciousness. And we are nothing without a consciousness. If we didn't have a consciousness, we would be unable to see our thoughts. We'd be unable to understand that we have thoughts. Now, without a consciousness, maybe thoughts would still happen. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that our consciousness is directly linked to our ability to have thoughts. And perhaps the only reason why they both exist is because they both exist, and without them, perhaps they wouldn't exist, and perhaps therefore we wouldn't exist. Now, that's a slippery subject to get your head around, and perhaps quite arguable as well. But if I wasn't conscious, how could I see my thoughts? If I couldn't see my thoughts, how could I interpret or place meaning to the reality that I live? Now, you might be able to see me and say, well, you do exist, I can see you. But if you had no consciousness, what then? We would both not be consciousness of anything, and therefore, would we really exist? So that goes into consciousness. But our consciousness is of benefit. And the reason why it's of benefit is because, and I like this, so I think it's kind of humbling, I think why consciousness is of benefit is because we can therefore better observe our thoughts. And once we can observe our thoughts, rather than attaching ourselves to them, we can try and direct our experiences in a more conducive way. And as we direct that experience into new experiences, we create new structures in the brain, and that therefore produces new thoughts in the future. And hopefully those thoughts will be more conducive. Hopefully those thoughts will be the conducive ones that help us live that positive, more the positive life that we really desire to live. Again, guys, this is getting a little bit sticky for me to explain, but I hope that makes sense. So whilst we have, let me sort of summarize this, whilst we have experiences in life that are much out of our control that create the structures of the brain that produce our thoughts, and therefore we use these thoughts to predict and place meaning around our life that we're currently living and predictions of our behaviors that we should take into the future, most of that might be out of our control. But what's in our control is our ability to be conscious, our ability to observe our thoughts, and in doing so, separate ourselves from the ability for that thought to control our lives. And as we do so, perhaps we can therefore influence and control the next experiences we have. And as we control those next experiences, we can therefore create new structures that trigger new thoughts that may be more conducive to a positive reality moving forward. So hopefully that explains what I really want to get to in this episode. The majority of this knowledge I share has been really inspired, and I've gained greater clarity around this topic by the author Lisa Feldman Barrett and her book, How Emotions Are Made, The Secret Life of the Brain. In the closing of her book, she has this paragraph, which I think just summarizes it beautifully. And I'll repeat that. I'll read this paragraph to you. If your brain operates by prediction and construction and rewires itself through experience, then it's no overstatement to say that if you change your current experiences today, you can change who you become tomorrow. Now, this is where it gets really conflicting for myself and perhaps for anyone listening to this that can make understand or who's still with me right now. But this becomes a little bit conflicting because on one statement, I'm saying that we can change our reality by changing the experiences we have. And on the other hand, I'm sort of saying that we have no free will. So how do we do that? Well, again, I think it all comes down to that ability to raise our level of consciousness, raise our level of mindfulness. And that's through the practice of focusing on the mind to become more aware. We need to view our thoughts and place attention on their source. And in doing so, we can better understand what they mean, why they exist, and in a way, better interpret them. And when we do this, it sort of forces the brain to seek more information that will assist us to influence and even better direct our behaviors that can change the experiences of the next moment. And as we go to change those next experiences, we can then slowly change that reality. And we do that really, because our experiences change the thoughts that we have. The more positive experiences that we might put ourselves into, the more positive thoughts that we might have, and that might change the experiences that we have. Now, that really sort of wraps up the thought here today in this episode, guys. I hope it's had some clarity in it, and I hope it's made some sense. I would love to know what you think, number one, about the clarity and sense that I've brought to you in this episode. So you can let me know at thehiddenwhite.com in the comments fields there. You can also reach me directly through social media or my email address. So just let me know, and I'd love your thoughts on this topic as well, or your feedback. So connect with me at thehiddenwhite.com. Guys, everything is there. But you think about it, like if you are, and I'll just do an example that is relevant for me, public speaking. It's not a topic that, not a skill that I've always been confident with or competent with. And it's something that I've been really fearful of throughout my life. And in my younger years, teenage years, when I had to give presentations, I just hated it. Didn't really want to do it at all. Now, my thoughts around this, and these are, you know, I don't know if they're thoughts of ill will or harm, but they certainly do cause a level of suffering because I have this fear there that, you know, I'm going to bomb, I'm going to suck at speaking. I don't want to go through with it. If I'm in that situation where I expect that I'll be asked to speak, I have this agitation and moments of however long they might last. Sometimes they can last for a while. If I know there's something coming up where I'm probably expected to talk, I might have these butterflies that exist for like a couple of days prior to. And then in that moment as well, you know, there's this level of agitation or uncomfortableness. So that is a level of suffering. And it's really produced by this thought that comes that I am no good at public speaking. And so that sort of directs my behaviors and directs me to avoid those situations. It predicts my behaviors in that sense. If I want to change those thoughts to say that I am actually okay at this or even great at public speaking, then what I need to do is change my experiences. And rather than letting that thought control me, is just remove myself and say, hang on, well, what is it exactly that that thought is saying to me? What is it exactly that I'm feeling right now? And what is it that I'm fearful of? And in separating myself from that thought and those feelings, perhaps then I can better understand what it means and not allow it to just stop me from creating a new experience and pushing myself into chances to speak publicly. And what I found is that when you do that, when you remove yourself, separate it, put a bit more clarity to it using your consciousness, you can then push yourself into those new experiences with a little bit more ease. It still might be difficult, but you can put yourself into those situations with a little bit more ease. And when you have that experience, that new experience that is positive, that will change your thoughts in the future until a point after a lot of practice where your thoughts might be suddenly saying, yeah, I'm really good at this. This is going to be great. I'm going to deliver a really effective speech today. And you're going into it with a totally different perspective. And that's how this sort of process and understanding, I think, can benefit us in our lives. It can stop us from not pursuing those things that we really like. It can stop us from having those thoughts that are going to cause us more damage to a really great quality of life. And that's what I think is the benefit about all of this, guys, about the depth of thought, consciousness, and mindfulness. And certainly the benefits that I've had from a mindfulness practice has allowed me to really understand that thoughts are just there. They come and go, and I don't need to attach myself to them. They are not me. I am not them. And my reality I live shouldn't be based on them. The reality I live is a biological structure. That's how the body works. And if we can better understand that, then we can know that, you know, the experiences we put ourselves into, the positive one, will create more positive experiences going forward. If we have negative thoughts that put us into negative situations and experiences, that's going to have a detrimental effect on the reality going forward as well. So that's how it all works, guys. I hope that's made sense. That's where I'm going to wrap it up today. Thank you. Enjoy your day. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. I hope you love what you're hearing. If you like this episode, guys, or any of the episodes that you're listening to here at The Hidden Why, please do me a favor by sharing it. You can share it with your families. You can share it with your loved ones. You can do that by using your favorite social media channels, using the icons on the platform that you're listening to The Hidden Why podcast. Also, guys, if you're a fan of the show, please connect with me. Connect with me at thehiddenwhite.com. I love to hear from you. I love to converse with the people that listen to this show to find out what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, and perhaps if they have any questions or feedback for the show as well.
You can stay up to date with all that I'm releasing here, guys. I do a solo show every Monday, a 3-minute thought every Thursday. I do 2 interviews a week on a Wednesday and a Saturday, and a book review every Friday. You can stay up to date with all that by subscribing to my newsletter at thehiddenwhy.com. Just enter your email address there, and also subscribing to the podcast on the platform that you choose to listen to your podcasts. You can also support the show, guys, by using the Amazon links at thehiddenwhy.com. So if you like books, you can get all the books that I review there, and anything else really that you like to purchase through Amazon. So use that link, it helps support the show. And we've also got a deal with Audible, guys. Audible is a fantastic way to listen to all your favorite books. We've got a deal with them, so you can get 2 free books when you subscribe, or subscribe to a 30-day free trial. So check that out again at thehiddenwhy.com. Guys, that's it from me. You know what to do. Go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why. My name is Lee Martinuzzi. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.